The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Well, here we are, several days into January of 2018, and I know many of you out there have already broken some of your New Year's resolutions. I know I've done it, my guest has done it, and everybody's done it. And it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. And it makes you wonder, can we ever really make the changes that we want to make and we need to make so that we can have a better, healthier life and a more fit body, and make any other changes that we want to make? How do we make these changes and really make them stick? Well, that's what I'm going to be discussing today with Jenna Smith. Now, she's here with me today, and she's going to give us some tips on how we can keep our resolutions and make those changes stick. She's a shamanic intuitive and life coach, and she's also one of the co-hosts to one of our hit shows on America Out Loud called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And I highly suggest you listen to that show if you hadn't listened to it before, because it's a hard-hitting show, and they cover all kinds of topics, and they have some really interesting conversations on there. And one thing about it is you never know what's going to come out of their mouths. It's very interesting and very entertaining. But Jenna, why are New Year's resolutions, and not just New Year's, but any time we have goals? Now, I'm a person that I don't put a whole lot of emphasis. I do some to the New Year's resolutions, because I may make, a goal or a resolution as such any day of the year, because I think we need to. I'm continually trying to change. I'm not always successful, but I work toward that. But how can we make these New Year's resolutions stick? And why are they so hard to keep?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first one, how do we make them stick, is the first step is to create a resolution that's congruent to who you are. You know, so a lot of people have these ideas and they have comparisonitis, and they're looking at, oh, I should do this and I should do that. And that, to me, is definitely step one, is what genuinely feels like an improvement of your well-being, your self-care, your enjoyment of life, and not necessarily self-improvement, because I think people can get caught in self-improvement. So the first step is to get the right resolution, if you know where I'm going with this. The process of trying to do something that you think you should do is going to wreak havoc on you, because you've got all of this stuff, all of this resistance coming up, and we're going to talk more about resistance. But I would say that's the number one reason people don't keep them, is that they didn't really check in with themselves. You know, really, what does this really mean to me? Do I really want to do this? What benefits will this have for me in my life? And I'll throw that out as an activity. Write down 100 benefits that your resolution will have for you. And then you'll have a bigger emotional reason to make that action change, you know, to make those small different shifts in your life that are going to equal a different reality. So most resolutions are lose weight, quit smoking. We're trying to fix ourselves. And so ultimately the first step is, what will really bring you more wellness? What will fulfill you, and start with you and work out from there? So that might be nicer to yourself. That would be the first resolution I would give most people, is start to just chill out, be nicer to yourself, and then make actions from there.
Yeah, I like that. You know, we never think about that. We never think about being nice to ourselves. And that's like an aha moment, you know, for me. And I think for many people, because that's really important, because that, you know, we need to love ourselves first, and then we can are able to love other people and help other people. But, and I think what you're also saying is that we need to have our why we're doing it needs to be big enough, you know, and a lot of times we're driven by pain and pleasure. And, and I totally agree, because I think that a lot of times our resolutions, there's not a lot of motivation behind them. And that's why a lot of times we fail, you know, because we really don't want it bad enough. And the things we really want bad enough. If we really want it bad enough, we'll usually those things will do. And so we have to check in. I like that. We have to check into ourselves and see, what do we really want? What do we need? Yeah, yep. I like that.
I'm going to add that also, it's a fine line, Beverly, because we also want to protect ourselves from disappointment. So we don't always go for the thing we actually want.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes we need to actually maybe pull it up a bit more, put it up a notch and actually take that dance class that you're afraid to take or go up and sing at an open mic, and fulfill and express these deeper desires that really light you up because you're afraid you'll be disappointed. You're afraid you'll have criticism. And so I noticed both things. Either it doesn't matter enough or it matters so much that we avoid it.
Yeah. And you have to think too, is my goal realistic? I mean, is it realistic what you want to do? And maybe it is 6 months from now, if you work on it for 6 months, but it may not be in the time frame you set yourself. And that brings up another question. Should we put time limits on it? I mean, I can see pros and cons to that. What's your opinion? In other words, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to do it in 6 weeks, Well, it depends on what your body going on in your body. It may take 6 months to lose that. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, I used to be a personal trainer, so I watched this really so many times. Every time January come around, the gym was full. And February, we were back to normal. And so the people regularly going to the gym are like, oh, okay, it's January. They change what time they go in because everyone just floods through the gym. Anyways, we learned this smart system, and I hope I remember, but that your goal needs to be specific, measurable, action oriented, realistic, and that's the realistic. And then in this thing, they say put a time on it. If you add all of those up, you've got a really good mixture of things, right? Specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, then time. So, as you just said, or have the time times it by two. So if you think it's going to happen in 6 weeks, I would just times that by two and give yourself some space to actually make it more realistic. So I would say most people need to times their time that they've set in their head by two.
Yeah, and that'll help take some of the pressure off too, because if you put a time limit on it, it can put a lot of pressure on you, and which puts more stress on you. And of course, stress is not good for anything. And some stress can be good certain times, but you see what I'm saying.
You're making a good point, because this is something I talk about a lot, and you know this, that most people are so used to, and that's why I said, be kind to yourself would be the first step to all of this, because they're so used to only being motivated when they are being self-deprecating. You are fat and you can't eat that, and you need to go to the gym and you need to work hard, and it's like blah 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 blah. Not to me, that has never been motivating. Yeah. That has never been motivating to me. I do know people that, usually athletes and type A, they rise to the occasion. They're like, no, I'll show you. It doesn't work for me. So, do what works for you. If that short time frame lights you up and gets you going, then yay. But I think for a lot of people, they're pretty mean to themselves, and their motivation comes from fear, and it comes from not liking themselves. And then they're making themselves do these things. And that's where we go into the realm of willpower. So why? So your second question, part B of your first question, why don't they last? That would be the biggest reason. We drag ourselves to these goals, and then we get there, and then we want to just rebel and just get away from it because it sucks so much. It just has not been a fun journey. So we then want to have some pleasure back in our lives again.
Yeah. And it needs to be something we enjoy, and I'm glad you brought up too about how we need to love our bodies, and, we need to love ourselves, and we need to love our bodies, because, our bodies, we get angry at it. I mean, all of us have. I have. And,
yeah, all me
and
too.
I mean, everybody has at one time or other, because it's just not, it's not working the way it wants to. It doesn't look the way we want it to, and that kind of a thing. But, our body works really, really hard to keep us alive. And the body is not making us fat because it doesn't like us. Our body loves us, and we need to love our body. The problem is, and we've talked about this many times on this show, as so many different things we're faced with that can cause weight gain. And that type of thing. And again, I'm just talking about weight because that seems to be one of the top, you know, resolutions. But it can be with, you know, for various things with our bodies. But our bodies work hard to keep homeostasis. And that is word basically just means it keeps everything in balance and running like it's supposed to. And when we are putting things in our body that is not good for it, and we're bombarded with all these toxins and so many different things, then our bodies, they have to store those toxins. And I don't want to get too off track here, but our body has to store the toxins, and so it typically stores it in the liver or in various places and stores it in fat. And so the fat is there to protect us from the toxins. And also, there's other reasons and other things. But the point is, we need to love our bodies because our body loves us and is trying to help us and protect us. And so when we start looking at ourselves and our body differently and through the eyes of love, I think that will help shift things, and that will help us to be more kind to ourselves and to our body. And yes, we need to do things that's good for it, but sometimes people go way overboard.
Yeah.
And I've done this myself. I'm not up here on a high horse. I mean, I'm guilty of this stuff too. We go on these extreme diets, or we exercise way too much, and we can hurt ourselves and in various ways. And that's not good for our bodies. And so I really like that you're bringing up the point how we need to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and because And this is what I find that a lot of people, I mean, I'm 35 and I work mostly with people between 45 and 55. And by the time they've reached that age, they're kind of over it.
So many
false starts and so many, this is the time and this is the year. And now that I have this haircut, I'm doing it. Or now that I have this pill or this, you know, whatever pair of jeans, now they're magical. And there's always this golden ticket and magic pill. And, you know, I think people at that age go, okay, what would make me happy? And then your body starts to age. And then you go, whoa, wait a second. I want to be alive. I want to not have my knees. Like, I want to have my knees work. I want to have my heart work. I want to have energy. And then we start to reconnect to our bodies again at a later stage. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's been my experience that those are the best clients because they get it. They're like, whoa, this matters. And it's not about fitting in my skinny jeans. It's about feeling good.
Right. Yeah. I can speak from experience. I'm over 45 and we'll stop there. But the thing is, when you get a certain age, it's like your priorities change. Mm-hmm. And especially when you can see older people and your parents and grandparents and whatnot, and you see how they are suffering and you think, you know, it's not going to be long. I'm going to be their age. I mean, because time just flies. And, and then you realize that, you know, your priorities just change. You're like, you know, yes, I'd like to lose those few extra pounds, but really, I want to be healthy, and I want things to. And then when you start noticing some joints getting a little sore and a little stiff, and you're like, whoa, we got to stop this, we got to stop it. So it does change when your motivation changes. You know, it helps to change your motivation because you look at things differently, and it's more about being healthy and mobile and being able to get around good and not have these aches and pains. And that is possible.
Totally. And a lot of times, your show is about.
That's right. Exactly. And so when you make these changes and you start, and you also realize when you get older, look, it's not going to happen overnight. Okay. I need to really change my lifestyle. So I need to do something that fits me and suits me that I can incorporate into my daily life. And that's one thing with this show. I don't want, because there's all kind of different diets out there, and some works for some people, some works for the other. And I've got an upcoming show, I'll put a plug in on this, that we're going to talk about a best-selling author. He's got a really good diet program out there that's had a lot of success. I'll talk about that on another show coming up soon here. But they're different diets, and you know, one diet might work for you and not work for someone else, but you really need to find the diet or the way of eating. I don't really like to call it a diet that's healthy, that works for you,
yep,
and that you can stick with. And all the main thing is, I tell people, it's just eat real food.
Yeah.
Just eat real food and eat it as clean as you can. Organic, you know, as much as possible and that kind of thing. And then, I mean, that's the biggest thing. And when you start eating real food, you know, your body starts responding differently and better. And then making some these changes along with it, it gets to where you really start liking that food better. But I don't want to digress, because there's a lot of other resolutions that people make, and I don't want to just make it about weight loss, because, you know, they're all kind of different. You know, spending more time with family, exercising more, and just having more
meditation.
Yeah, and, you know, having more time for yourself. And that's one, mm-hmm, that's one of the ones, and we'll talk about our personal resolutions here a little later, but I do want to mention one of the things that I'm going to start doing is taking more time for myself and just to enjoy life more, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't enjoy life before, I did, but I'm going to just kind of slow down and just start smelling the roses more. And I think that is in meditation and all like that, which I've been doing that some, but the point is, we all have our own different resolutions. And, you know, and some things are easier to change than others, and some things are just hard to change. And why is that? Why are we so resistant to change sometimes?
Well, the two things that we already spoke of, you know, either it doesn't matter enough or it matters too much. So let's go with the one where it matters too much. Okay. So I'll just spill the beans. My resolution is to sing more and get on stages more. So I've got, my resolution is kicking up. When I was in my mid-20s and I had a record deal and I was doing fitness modeling and I was moving all of these dreams and aspirations and things that lit me up forward. Now, mind you, this was in the other paradigm of I need to do this or I'll suck, right? Like, it wasn't the right paradigm that I was operating from. So thank God I learned transformation, because now I can do it and enjoy it while I'm doing it. I mean, who knew? However, my point is that the history of that resolution, of that, let's call it a dream, has some stuff, you know, like, ooh, that hurt when it realized that I couldn't do this. And, you know, kind of certain things kind of break your heart. And did your heart fully heal? I don't know. I mean, that's what you'll find out when you start acting towards it again. When you start opening that file up again on something that really, really matters to you and that you've had a history with, stuff comes up. And so if you don't, first of all, know that stuff will come up and that you should expect it, the more that you care about the thing, the more you're going to have something kick up emotionally, fear, doubt, you know, because it's trying to protect you. Just like your body's trying to protect you from toxins, emotionally, your body tries to protect you from possible pain. And the best way it can tell is from past pain. So suddenly your dream is locked in with this pain file. Oh, no, that hurts, actually.
Yeah.
So you get tired, or you procrastinate, or you, you know, I always say my house is never more clean than when I have to do taxes, because it's like, I do
putting it off. Yeah. Yeah. And this can be happening and us not really realize it.
Well, this is the thing, that my observation of so-called sabotage is that it's actually not enough self-relationship, not enough education out there as well, that you're going to have this significant experience of what they call resistance. And, you know, in my neck of the woods, my entrepreneurial life, a lot of entrepreneurs talk about these concepts, but I would say the general population doesn't always have this information available to them. What is resistance? What is, you know, getting out of your comfort zone and all this kind of lingo is very self-development oriented. And if that isn't what you're reading, you're going to be really thrown off when you start to do the thing you love and you start to feel depressed. Yeah. It's going to feel weird. Like, what's going on here? But I love it. Why am I depressed? It's like, well, you're clearing something. So the advice is to keep going. The advice is also, if it's really getting to you, is to seek people to help you through it, to get, you know, there's a gabillion coaches now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's why, that's why that business has blown up, is because we have this relationship with ourselves that can be so sticky and so hard through the trees, that all we know is we feel badly And then typically we'll let the thing go. Like, we don't know what to do. So we just kind of stop doing the thing that's causing the pain. But what if we did know, it would be to keep going. Yeah. It would be that that's actually an indicator you're on the right path. As soon as I started to go, okay, I'm going to be on stages, all I wanted to do was sleep. I'm like, okay, this means this is good. This means this is for me. The discernment versus if I overexercise and all I want to do is sleep, well, that's because I'm overworking myself. So the discernment is there's no physical reason for me to need that. I wasn't sick. It was an emotional thing coming upon me to try to stop me because it thinks it's protecting me from future pain. Until I do it enough times that I rewrite the system, and that's what you want to wait for, 6 months to a year, pretty much. That whole myth about 21 days to change a habit, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
How long? Like, a whole bunch of other things.
3 years to create a habit that is no longer a habit. It's a way of being. It's like, of course I drink eight glasses of water a day. I couldn't even imagine not doing that. I don't even have to think about it.
That's, and how long did you say it took? You went out on something.
Oh, 3 years.
3 years. That's what I thought you said. 3 years to change a habit. Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder.
If you look back at things that you have tried to do and you really think, when did it really lock in? You know, a year is good, two is good, but any time in that 1 to 2 year period, it could be earlier, but typically any time in that 1 to 2 year period, you have those times where you just kind of slip back.
Yeah.
There's a slipping back. Well, there's no slipping back when it's just what you do. Yeah. It's just what you do. There's no slipping. There's nothing to slip from. So that's that full transformation stage where you're genuinely a new person. Your cells have changed. Your mindset has changed. Your relationship to that thing has changed so much that it's just permanent.
Yeah, and that's when it really starts feeling good. That is a phenomenal feeling when that happens. It's got to be just a phenomenal, especially when you make some really big changes. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to come back and talk more about this resistance to change and what it looks like with Jenna Smith.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. And I'm talking to Jenna Smith. I'm Beverly Butler, your host. You're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast. And Jenna was just talking about, why it's so hard for people to change and why people are so resistant to change. And she had some really interesting things to say. She said in order to really change a habit, it takes 3 years. You know, the people, you know, we've read and heard where it says 21 days. And she said that's not right. That's wrong. So it takes 3 years to really change a habit. Now that really sounds more accurate to me because, you know, these habits get really ingrained. Well, what exactly does resistance look like? And I know you've mentioned a little bit, and you said that, you know, when you start doing things like to avoid doing what, you know, you're supposed to be doing or want to be doing, that is actually a sign that you're on the right track. But what else, you know, what does it really look like?
Yeah, you know, it looks like, and I will say this, everybody knows, and I will say this to clients, okay, so in the beginning, we've started a relationship, we started a commitment, and they've said yes, and this is what happens. I say, what is the thing you do that messes yourself up? And they answer it. They always know.
Wow.
Well, I stay up too late. Well, I avoid conflict with people. Well, I, you know,
yeah, lack of planning.
With people.
Yeah, it just popped
lack
in
of planning. Okay,
yeah, it just popped in my head what I do a lot, like with improving my diet more, and that's a work in progress. I've improved a lot from compared to what it was, but I've still got some more changes I want to make. And one of the things that really gets me is I don't plan enough. I don't plan ahead enough, and then I'm just, you know, like grab stuff on the go and busy doing other stuff, and that gets me.
Here we go. Why don't we just do this real time? So what's your resistance to planning?
Well, because I'll know if I plan a meal, I'll really need to eat it, you know, and I'll really have to do this if I plan.
In you. I'm sensing the rebellious Beverly.
Oh, surely not.
So there we go. So the resist. So it actually, if you can, I mean, I'm skilled in the time I unpack these very complicated issues, and they seem very simple to me because I've been doing it for so long. But quite frankly, like, what's the thing you do to mess yourself up? You know. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. That's the thing you do to mess yourself up. You don't plan. Or, what's the thing I do to mess myself up? I used to not plan. And now it feels so good when I do that. I do, if that makes sense. I used to just be, what did I call myself? Shiny chaos. Very charismatic, very, my charisma can get me through a lot of crap.
Yeah.
So people forgive me for a whole bunch of things, being late, being whatever. And then I didn't like that anymore in myself. So anyway, so that would be one thing I used to do, would just to be like, I'm going to show up and be magical, but I'm a bit scattered and I'm a bit frazzled and I'm not fully being. And then I never enjoyed it. So, you know, for instance, that would be singing engagements or speaking gigs or whatever. But what are my things that I do now?
Yeah. I'll tell you something else I do is I look at it as being boring, you know.
There you go.
And so that's something I've got to, you know, this is helping me really realize it. Now, again, my eating habits are a whole lot better than they were. It's just I'm wanting to up it a notch, go even further with it, and go to that next level with it. And this has taken me years, you know, to improve my diet. You know, some of the things I used to eat, oh goodness, I never eat them that now. I mean, like I've said before on this show, I was raised on, you know, Captain Crunch and Sugar Smacks, you know.
Yeah.
And then I went to like a healthier cereal as I got older, to, you know, Special K or whatever. But now I wouldn't dare eat that stuff because it would make me feel bad. I know exactly how it would make me feel. And I haven't eaten it in years. You know, pizza, I used to eat pizza some. I practically never eat that anymore. I just don't really care for it. And so, you know, just certain things. And overall, my diet is, like I said, it's healthier, but I'm wanting to up it to that next stage. And this has been taking a long time for me. So go ahead.
Right, and good, because that's how long it needed to take to make the change. But okay, so this is perfect. The bad and the good thing, and I wrote this down in my notes for this show, is all or nothing thinking. Bad or good.
And that was mine. That's the way I used to be. And I think a lot of people are like that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it all the way or not. And I'm getting away from that. And maybe it's just because I'm getting older and realize that's not really the best thing to do in a way to think. You know? That's right. So you just do, you know, do your kind of somewhere in the middle, you know, do the best you can and go on. But yes, and I'm getting away from that.
Manage judgments of things. So my advice around that is pizza isn't bad. Okay. Chocolate isn't bad. Broccoli isn't good. Just to try to manage those judgments. Because if you're a rebel, and most people are, because we have this thing called our inner child, which is just that we had it the whole time. We've always been an inner child. We've just abandoned these more vulnerable parts of ourselves because we had to be an adult. We had to grow up, right? So this is just us being a full human. Our so-called inner child is our inner vulnerable self. It has temper tantrums. And so part of resistance is actually a temper tantrum.
An adult temper tantrum, huh?
Okay. It is a full-on temper tantrum. And so full-on can happen, and it can be a slow burn, right? Just like, oh, one bite. Oh, I'm not going to go to the gym today. Oh, no. Or it can be a binge. Or, you know, we behave in so many different ways. And when you were talking about, you know, oh, actually kind of left my mind.
That's okay. It'll come.
Because I went into a different topic. You were talking about something and I thought, oh, that's cool. We'll bring something up there. But ultimately, the resistance thing is a temper tantrum. Okay. And the way to deal with it is to change this all or nothing thinking and to just have pizza be an option. But does that really fuel my body? Do I feel good after that? And to give yourself that width to actually consider, does this make me feel good? And then eat it once a week or eat it twice a week and not make it such a big deal. it's those diets you go to like 30 days and then you want to eat all the donuts and all the pizza and all the whatever because you're rebelling. And so if we just notice and we're like, oh, actually I'm sluggish today and I don't want to be sluggish. Ooh, the pizza made me sluggish. It's not good or bad. It's just, there's a result that comes from that behavior and you're noticing the result. And then you're noticing, do I like this result? And so that will give you far better return on your resolution to just how it's going.
Yeah.
Notice how.
Amen to that. I have a story, a donut story that fits, will fit really good in here. Last year, used to be my all-time favorite food is chocolate-covered donuts from Krispy Kreme. Now, that's probably the worst food you can put in your mouth. I hardly ever would eat them, you know, and usually if I did, just one or two and I'd stop, you know, because I was, you know, because they're pretty sweet, you know. But anyway, but I wasn't completely off of them. It would just be once in a blue moon. I'd have to have one. Well, anyway, last year I was going through a divorce. I've been married almost 30 years, and I was at a hotel. I won't get into all of it, but anyway, and I just really didn't want to eat the breakfast at the hotel, and I just needed some chocolate covered donuts. You know, it's a stressful time and everything. So I got some, and I ended up eating, you know, by the time that night and the next morning, I had eaten several. Well, after that, it really gave me problems in my gut. It really, you know, I was just feeling bad, really bad. And I knew, because the other I had been eating pretty decent, you know, and I knew it was the chocolate covered donuts. And when I realized how it was making me feel really bad, ever since then, I've been mad at chocolate covered donuts. And I have not had a Krispy Kreme since. So that really works when you can really tag how you feel with what you've just eaten,
the consequences,
the consequences of it. That is like the best motivation to not eat
totally. Well, here's how, if I was to unpack your situation, that would be classic inner child needing love kind of thing, like needing some reassurance, needing, you know, like that we reach to food. And so a lot of the resolutions are problematic because we might need something else. You might not need to lose weight. You might need to increase your self-esteem, you know? So it wasn't the donut you really wanted. It was that tasted good at one point in my life. I want some satisfaction right now because it's been a really rough time. And I've done that I've had a very long relationship with emotional eating and binge eating and all sorts of things from being in the fitness industry. And it was actually okay. Actually, funnily enough, that was what I was going to mention. I grew up on Lunchables and all of that kind of food too. It didn't even occur to me that food actually equaled weight gain too, because I lived in a small town. It was just like, either you're an athlete or you're just like this person. There wasn't any sense of food equals this. So funny to think about it that way.
That's
like,
right.
It didn't occur to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just such a thinker.
Yeah, that's really just started in the last several years, just started people, you know, we're making that
awareness.
Connection.
Oh, yeah. If I eat this whole thing of pasta, my jeans might be tight.
and that's another, just notice how you feel. And it may not be a pain or discomfort like that, but it may just be, you know, my clothes are going to fit really tight, you know. And I noticed that with eating like, which I haven't eaten in a while, but like Chinese food or something, they have this, I just feel like all that rice and the stuff they put in it, I just feel so fat the next morning. It's like, I just, you know, and I'm so like, weird. I just don't want that feeling. And so that's enough most of the time. I mean, it's not, I hadn't had it in a long time now, you know. So, you know, so attach feelings to food is.
And that comes from the self-love though, right? So when we make these, so my advice to everybody is to make your resolution centered around your self-relationship improving. You might not get to self-love on the first go. You might get to self-okayness. Yeah. I'm okay. I don't suck. Like, most people need these little baby steps in order to create a new relationship with themselves. Mm-hmm. You're not going to love yourself right away. You're not going to think you're the most amazing. I don't think I'm the most amazing thing all the time, but I have a genuine respect for myself that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And that comes with slowly deciding different choices. They all add up, and then your consciousness totally changes. And you know, Beverly and I, we could talk about that for days.
Yeah.
all of,
oh, yeah.
little things that happen, the people that come into your life, the books that come into your awareness, your life starts to talk to you and work with you. But when you have a genuine desire to improve yourself, not to be better or not to look better or not to get external accolades, when you are just like, I matter, I do find that the world will start to move towards you, and you will start to get resources you never thought if you keep going.
Well, how do you, in talking about this resistance and the change and everything like that, sometimes, and also I will say this, sometimes when you exercise, your body changes, your mind changes toward it, and you start craving it. And I'll tell this story. Last night, I was going to get back with my exercise and do it again. And yesterday, and I thought, I was tired last night. I was tired, and I still hadn't there. So I was like, nope, you can't do that. That's the wrong thinking. So I said, you got to do it. So I went and did it, and I added weights to it, and I'm doing my exercise, and I'm like, man, I felt so good after. And then today, I've caught myself really wanting to do that. So sometimes, beginning to kind of crave it, So sometimes, these things can, even our diets, when you change in time, change from unhealthy to healthy eating, you can start craving the good stuff, and you can start craving exercise. But it's getting to that point. It's getting through that valley to get to that other side.
And that's the key, is the consistency.
Yeah, it's the consistent. It is. But sometimes when we're talking about resistance, sometimes, say, for instance, if we're exercising and we need more rest, or we start rest, especially at first and all, how do we know that we're just wanting to just sleep in and not exercise, or maybe we're overdoing it? In other words, sometimes some of these things we might think is resistance is maybe just, God or the universe, depending on how you look at it, maybe telling us that we're doing too much, or maybe we're on the wrong path. And this is not just with weight and exercising, but it's with other things. How do we know when it's a sign that we're in resistance, or maybe we're just on the wrong path?
Yeah.
How do we decipher that?
Well, it's so funny. I have so many people think resistance is the universe telling them to give up or something, or that it's not the right time. And you know what? The same way when I said, when I pose this question to my clients, like, what do you do to mess yourself up? What do you think? Is just really sit with it. What do you think? And to actually, we don't do this to ourselves enough. We don't, and I call it checking in. What's really going on for me? Your body actually answers you.
Yeah.
Whether you've been having that communication or not, you can actually genuinely sit and still your mind for a moment, just one moment. Your mind is going to keep going. That's a whole other thing. Meditation doesn't mean not thinking, but what it means is creating space for truth to emerge from your intelligence. So you ask this question, do I really need to sleep in right now? Or am I just avoiding the gym? I almost guarantee you'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am so glad you mentioned that, because this is where meditation, another good reason to do meditation, and this is something that I am learning. I've learned a lot through this the last few months. When you quiet your mind, oftentimes the real answers do come to you. And again, that's a one phenomenal benefit of meditation, is to get answers.
Yep. And it's not about stopping thinking. It's about creating space.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there ever a time that we might be confused? Usually are these messages, do they usually come to us clear, or is there some type of way we need to decipher
it? It'll take some practice. So here's the middle road, which I really like. The all or nothing is always going to get you a little messed up. The middle road would look like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym, but I give myself permission to do 10 minutes if I'm genuinely that tired. And then I'll have a nap, right? So you create a compromise. Like you're parenting, right? You're self-parenting yourself. Like if you had your child say, I'm really tired, but they want to make the football team, you'd kind of negotiate with them. You'd try to coax it out of them. So what do you think? What do you feel? What's real for you? Just do that for yourself until you really do get a better level. And I call it discernment. you genuinely acquire discernment about, is this resistance? And sometimes I get it wrong too. I am like, oh no, I did need to sleep right then. I am tired, I shouldn't have went to that party. Actually, I don't want to be here. But here's the thing, leave the party. Like, it's like we can course correct and we can play around with it. So if you need sleep, then, oh, I'm tired. Now make that decision to sleep. So just relax the whole thing. If you're getting a pain in your elbow, probably don't do bicep curls that day, like give it a break, because that's a very physical thing. That's very rarely going to be a resistance factor, but do legs. And so resistance would be, here's a good example. Resistance would be, oh, my arm hurts, I can't work out. No. How do you work around it? You do the bike, you go for a walk, you blah, 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 blah. So many things. Oh, yeah. I can't find any lettuce. I can't make a salad. Okay. What's the next best option? So this all or nothing thinking, I do say, comes into the resistance big time, because when you ask me that, what does it look like? People will know what it looks like for them. But examples are fatigue, clouded thinking, grumpy moods. And now the flip side is manic, super like too much. It's all that you think about. It's all that you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. It's like extreme. You'd really bug a lot of people, probably.
Yeah. So, we need to have balance in everything.
Yeah.
And I think one thing too is with this, when we're quieting our mind, we need to try, even though we're going to be thinking, try to get our thinking mind out of the feeling part and just feel for what the answer is. And then we'll have thoughts. Yeah. But let the thoughts just kind of linger, but don't try to think, try to not think, I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly.
Bring your attention. Your body is your source of presence. So you need to bring your attention into your body. I actually have, I don't know if you can put links on your thing, Beverly. I have a body scan on YouTube and I have the heart breathing exercise, and both of those are golden to getting you practicing. And you can just listen to the recording until you can get it on your own. They bring you into the body and sort of gently coax you into a very relatable, a very easy to do way to start to bring these things into your life, where then you make decisions from what I call your core, from your essence, from your core of being, that you then don't have to mess around. I mean, to me, that was the biggest breakthrough in my life, was like, oh, there's this place inside of me that knows all the answers.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, okay. You have to listen for that place inside you that can give you the answers. And so you've got a recording. So let's do this. I will put the links to that in the show notes below the podcast, and then people can just go to the podcast page and click on the links, and then they can go get that. So we're going to need to take another break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about how we can make effective change and how we can break these bad habits. And we'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, we are back. I'm Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And I'm talking today to Jenna Smith. And we're talking about how we can make these New Year's resolutions that so many of us make, how we can make them stick. But not just that, any change that we want to make in our life. And as we, you know, I may make a set a goal, as everybody, as many people do, set a goal in the middle of the year or all through the year. How can we make these changes stick? And that's what we're talking about. Now, how do we really, really make effective change? We've talked about resistance. We've talked about why it's so hard to change and that it takes 3 years to actually form a new habit. But how do we make effective change and change these bad habits?
Well, and it's been woven throughout the talk. The first step I would say is to bring your noticing into as much validity as your actions. And what I mean by that is noticing is a legitimate thing to do. It doesn't always have to be eat broccoli. It could be notice how I feel when I eat lunch. And we talked about this before. I would say put noticing on your resolution list. It's like just using that as part of your action strategy, because noticing and bringing your full attention will make it much more alive to you than just following a 10-step program, because someone else wrote that 10-step program. You have to bring you into your program. And I often say, if you're going to do, you know, call it the, like, if I'm, it's going to be the Jenna program. So what do I know works for me? Oh, I like eating at, you know, 2 p.m. I don't like eating breakfast. Oh, okay. This is going to work for me, you know, and to don't be afraid to pick and choose and to modify things to fit you. And that, you know, that goes into all of those other tools we were just talking about in the show, the, you know, paying attention and using meditation and building all these things. That, so that's number one. And then we said consistency over and over again, but here's the cool thing. And it popped into my mind. I'm glad I can share it with you all, because a big turning point for me was that change felt really hard. And like, it was this endless mountain I was climbing and I would never get there. That's not very motivating, right? It's very easy to give up when you're like, yeah, well, I'm never going to get there. So what's the point? So I heard that if you get to 51%, meaning your thoughts, actions, what was it? Thoughts, action, mood, and words on board with this new change, you only have to get to 51%, because the momentum of change will start to take over, much like an avalanche. So there's these laws of nature that are actually on our side. So that was incredibly relieving to me to hear that I just have to get to 51%. I just need to keep going. And at some point, something else is going to kick in and it's not going to feel so hard. So what that looked like was, now I realize that Jenna 2 years from now is a different person than Jenna now. So what might seem hard now won't be then, because it'll be my new normal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you go through it by steps. You don't have to do, you don't do it all at once. And it can get easier and easier. That's right.
Yeah.
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 Right.
You actually transform. You're not dragging all of your problems into your future. You're actually transforming. You know, Malcolm thought it was really cool that every 7 years, all of our cells change.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
It is cool. Yeah. And so the only thing that keeps you the same is your thoughts and your inability to create those changes with consistency and self-love and not all or nothing and being willing to stick it out. And you know what? I was going to say this too. Some of the consequences are you might lose relationships. They might be actually big consequences to change. So the consequences are another thing we want to avoid. But if that small part in you, that to me is the biggest part of you, your soul, is calling out, this is who I need to be. This is who I am. This is who I am in the world. I love being fit. I love having energy. I love, you know, whatever the things are, not smoking, addictions. Addictions are just a way that we're trying to help ourselves. We're trying to feel better, you know, so just get better things. So, you know, the noticing and the consistency are always going to get you there. But then furthermore, I would add these practices, these self-awareness practices are so key, because you're living your life. So if you try to make change that's good for someone else, isn't that good to know that it's not going to really work for you? Like, you've been programmed in your highest self, in your most divine expression. On some level, there is a blueprint that is talking to you, coaxing you towards this fullest expression. And you just have to start walking towards it, and it will walk two steps towards you for every step that you take.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. I mean, that's a really beautiful thought and a thing that happens. And I'm glad you also mentioned about that, you know, we can lose some friends and some, you know, some of our relationships, even with our family, because, you know, when we start making changes, it tends to make the people around us uncomfortable, or it can.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with that?
It's a whole other show, Beverly. Yeah.
Well, tell us in about a minute how we can deal with that.
Well, you know, how to deal with it would be one, compassion. So let's say we've been talking about weight loss. So we're just going to use that as our metaphor for the whole thing. For any change you're going to make, you say your wife decides to lose weight and it kicks up your insecurity as a husband or a partner. You know, it could be another woman. It kicks up your insecurity. It's like, maybe I'm not good enough if they change and I stay the same. And so really the person is going to try to sabotage efforts unconsciously. They're not really meaning to hurt the person who's making change. So you'd have to have a very clean relationship with that person and say, and call them on it. Did you realize you keep bringing me dessert when I'm feeling really good and I'm not needing sugar, and I know you're doing it because you love me, you know? So I would start off with compassion rather than attacking the person that seems to be maybe trying to bring you down. That's when it's unconscious. Then there's people that just genuinely need to keep you down in order for them to feel better. That's a different monster altogether, because that's ego and it's pernicious and it's mean and it's really hard to get around it. So you're not going to be able to level with somebody like that. You probably won't have a very clean conversation with somebody like that who just
And there are quite a few people like that out there, unfortunately.
There are. Yeah. So you might need to change brings up grief because you're changing, you know, so you're going to have to change relationship to grief and let it move through your body as well. So maybe you need to let that person go and know that that's making space. Again, making space is key to having the person who's actually your friend, not somebody who needs to keep you down so they feel better. But you're actually rising up, and now you're going to meet a friend that wants you rose up.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to look at this, you know, anytime we make changes and improve ourselves, even if sometimes things happen that we don't like, we've got to know and realize that this is all for our benefit. You know, improving ourselves is never going to be bad for us. And like you just said, you know, some of the, you know, older people in our life might fall away, but new people that fit our energetic vibration better will come into our life. It's not like we're not going to be punished for trying to do, you know, what's right for ourselves and improve ourselves. We're going to be blessed for doing it, and we're going to reap some really wonderful things. So it's good just to look at the big picture on mm-hmm. that when we do these things, and just realize that, you know, it's all going to turn out fine. It's all going to, as the saying goes, it's all going to come out in a wash, you know. Now, before we've got just a little bit of time left, let's talk about just briefly, what are some of the New Year's resolutions that you've made?
That's my main one. It's that I have been running a successful business online. It's very good. I love it. And it's time for me to do me. You know, I grew up as a singer and I love it. And now that I have my own platform, I can do it. So it's time for me to do it. So there's a bunch of micro steps that go into that, right? Getting onto the stage. So it's, but the biggest thing is just anything moving me towards that, I'm on track.
Okay. Now, do you have any recordings of you singing?
That's where it starts, doesn't it? Because I haven't been doing it. I mean, I do, but they're in the past, and I'm going to make some new ones. So we can do another show about that. Yeah. I will post them and you can hear them. But I will be recorded at the Spirituality Expo January 7th in London, Ontario, Canada, because that's kind of my big coming out. It's like I'm starting off the new year speaking and singing and basically doing exactly what I want to do.
We may need to do another show and do it on this, because we were talking the other day when we were talking about this show, and you said that you're going to start incorporating all of you in your work. And I think that is phenomenal. That's wonderful. So
thank you.
Tell us about this, that you're going to be speaking, and what are you going to be speaking on? And you're going to speak on a topic plus bring your music on the stage too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been really fun to do because it's a new talk. It was co-created in a conversation with Heather, who runs the Social Beehive, who's running the event. So either way, she said, well, you know, what do we want to talk about? And I said something about a story where I said the challenge was to hold more light. Like, instead of looking at our dark all the time, the challenge was to hold more light. I was in a ceremony and I had this very divine experience, and that was what I heard. How can you hold more light? How can you show up the most? That's the new challenge for you in your life. And that was back in 2014 that I got that message. Now it's culminating, right? Talk about 3 years, right?
Yeah,
it's actually culminating is how to hold more light. That's the actual name of my talk, how to hold more light.
Now, as far as myself, I've got just a few things. I'm not making anything real big. Just improve on some areas and going to start taking more time for myself and do some more fun things. I'm actually going to get more into my guitar playing and some singing. I'm actually, like I said, going to get more into that. I've not done much of that in the last several years. And, you know, this is just something that everybody needs to really think about. You know, what do you love to do, and how can you incorporate that in with what in with your work, in with your business, and just in with your everyday life? Because when we do fun things, and that's another thing, I want to do more just fun things and relaxing things and slow down. You know, I want to slow down more and just focus more on just a few things instead of being all over everywhere, which is the way I've been for so long. Thank you, Jenna. Well, I appreciate this. And
my pleasure.
We will talk soon, I'm sure. Be sure also and listen to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Jenna is one of the co-hosts to that show. And go to JennaSmithCoaching.com and keep up with what she's doing. She's got some very valuable information on her website. This is Beverly Butler with the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network. Take care. Until next time.